Chapter 9. Christoph. Finally, the anticipated day had arrived, the day the council would start our long journey to Nahuatl. I had slept like a rock, but I could tell from Rosamund's constant yawning and the return of the dark bags under her eyes that she had not slept so well. She sat up in bed, rubbing her eyes, and I massaged her shoulders, giving her little kisses on her head. "Everything will be fine, my dear," I reassured her. "You know Adriana, Lauren, and Lorelia will guard this castle with their lives."
"I know,"
she replied, turning to me, her careworn face reminding me of when we first met.
"I just can't help feeling guilty for leaving everyone behind."
She kissed me, and then dragged herself out of bed and over to the wardrobe. She pulled on her travel clothes, and her movements seemed sluggish. I couldn't tell if it was because she was so tired or if she was trying to delay our departure. I dressed in my own travel clothes, black riding pants and a white, loose-fitting shirt. I pulled on leather boots and some leather arm bracers along with a blue padded jerkin. We weren't anticipating any battles that day, but once we left the safety of the kingdom, there was no telling what we might run into. I grabbed my and Rosmarin's bags, which were a couple of light backpacks to carry, and some larger bags we would stash in a carriage we were bringing along. I turned around before exiting the room, watching Rosmarin do one final check to ensure we had everything. "I know you know this," I called to her, "but sometimes we have to do the hard things so that life is easier for others." She walked over to me, and a faint smile curved up her lips.
"I know," she breathed. "I know this is the right thing to do, but I'm going to miss my home."
She spun around, giving our room one final look. "I'm going to miss it too," I sighed, "but Constanta will be that much safer when we return." I exited our room, and Rosamund shut the door behind us with a definitive click. She grabbed some of the bags from me, and we walked through the halls, slowly, savoring each step. The midnight blue and silver banners with Constanta's crescent moon symbol still covered the walls. If I had to choose any time to leave our people, now was as good a time as any, while morale was still high. The citizens had plenty of diversions to keep them from missing us too much, and I felt just as confident as Rosmarin that our friends would make fine rulers while we were away. We passed a few portraits of werewolf and wraith families, and my thoughts drifted to my own family. The last time we visited them, just a couple of days ago, they had again expressed their concerns about our trip, even though they understood why we were going. I continually assured them we would be okay, but for some reason, it finally hit me that something could happen to any one of them while I was away. It wasn't even that long ago that my mother suffered from a life-threatening illness. I knew being king would be difficult, but I hadn't fully understood all the sacrifices I'd have to make, and I gained a little more respect for Rosmarin. She had been making these kinds of decisions and sacrifices for years and had watched many of her loved ones die. Yet, she continued to do what was right, no matter the cost to herself. I breathed in, calming myself and feeling the warmth that I carried inside me, and it was in that moment, as I walked through the halls of Castle Constanta with my queen at my side, that I renewed my dedication and duties as light bearer. I realized I must learn to control my powers so that no matter what enemy came at us, I would be able to stop it. Nothing would ever hurt my friends or family again. We reached the Great Hall, and it was bustling with humans and supernaturals starting the day off with some breakfast. I grabbed a couple of rolls from the giant table, stuffed one in my mouth and another in my pocket for the road. Rosmarin shook her head at me, but I managed to cause a grin to form on her pink lips. We exited the castle out into another beautiful day. The sun illuminated the castle grounds in a golden glow, and morning dew still clung to the grass, making everything feel fresh. We followed a path towards the stables where we were to meet the rest of the council. When we arrived at the stables, Rachel greeted me by throwing an apple square at my head, and I replied with a, "Hello to you too, Rachel." She gave me her customary eye roll and continued saddling up her horse, which was, of course, midnight black. Erwin, more accustomed to traveling, had already finished equipping her things, and she sat atop a beautiful white and brown spotted horse. She trotted out of the stables towards a covered carriage. Onyx, the great gargoyle, sat atop a monster of a horse with a bushy black mane and flowing tail. The carriage was connected to its saddle, and I thought that horse must be a beast to pull our extra luggage and carry the sturdy Onyx. I had never seen the gargoyle on a horse before, but she seemed at ease enough. Sahar, also in the stables, mounted her horse, a slim brown female with eyes that matched the sorceress's dark, mysterious orbs. The others had saddled our horses for us, and once I put our spare bags in the carriage, I helped Rosmarin onto her white horse and mounted my own. He had a gorgeous red coat. I gave him a sturdy pat on his neck and he returned the gesture with a whinny. Sahar, Rachel, Roz, and I rode out of the stables and stopped by the carriage. "I think we're ready," I exclaimed, looking at each of my companions. They each nodded in consent. "All right then, Airy," I motioned to the fairy. "Would you lead the way?" She grinned from ear to ear, truly in her element. Although I'm sure she would have preferred to fly back to Nahuatl, we decided traveling by horse would be far easier for those of us who did not possess wings. Plus, having a carriage allowed us to bring more provisions and Sahar to bring some of her potions and magical items for the witch doctor. With Airy in the lead, we filed along the path leading south from the castle. As we rode away, I turned and looked up at the place that I had called my home these past months. It truly was a spectacular castle, constructed with gray stone and painted windows. Green vines curled up and down the great walls, and little pink flowers sprouted from the foliage. Rosmarin also turned to take a look, and I saw crystalline tears cascade down her face, glinting in the morning sun. Something in me broke then, and I realized she feared she might never see her home again. But I would never let anything happen to her. I silently promised that I would return the queen to Constanta, to her people, no matter what. We rode on, through the castle wall with the sparkling sun rising higher in the sky to our left. Constanta was certainly a beautiful kingdom, with green fields stretching out in either direction and tall evergreen trees dotting the land. The path leading away from the castle went steadily downhill, so whenever we looked behind us, we saw Castle Constanta sitting proudly atop the hill. "What a sight," I commented as I turned back. "Let's hope she still stands when we return," remarked Rachel. Rosmarin added, "Let us hope we return." The ride to the Outer Kingdom Wall was only a few hours, and to pass the time in these safe lands, we talked and laughed and sang songs. Erwin taught us some of her family's favorite fairy arias, as she called them, and one of them became a constant tune playing over and over in my head. O'er green lands we fly, the sun up high in azure skies, the wind, the rain, mountains and plains, we long to gain just one last sight before the night, or the cold blight, just one last sight. After singing these lines for what seemed like the 100th time, I blurted out, "What is this song?"
"It's a fairy song," answered Erwin. "It's something we all learned as kids."
"The melody sounds all lighthearted, but it's actually kind of sad," I mused. "Reminds me of the end of the world or something." Rachel, on her dark horse, rode up beside me.
"Have you forgotten, King, about the horrors we all recently faced? We live in a world with zombies. That's pretty end of the world to me."
"We fairies may seem all smiles and sunshine,"
Airy continued,
"but we feel the pains of the world just as much as anyone else."
Some secret thought passed over Erwin's face as her smile faded and her eyes glossed over. I realized how little I actually knew about my fairy friend. She, and any other fairy I had met, always seemed so carefree. And maybe that was just in their nature, but they experienced the same horrors as the rest of us. I couldn't remember if I had read it in a book or if someone mentioned something to me about the fall of a fairy village and how zombies had overrun them during the Great Purge, and I wondered if that was the memory Erwin was reliving. Eri shook herself out of her reveries, her smile returning, and then with renewed vigor, she and Rachel began singing the same song at the top of their lungs. I rolled my eyes and groaned, and Rosamund smacked me in the head, giggling as she rode past and joined in with the loud singing. I was glad to see her in better spirits, and felt thankful she had her closest friends with her. I owed my life to these women, and suspected there would be many more times where they would come to my rescue. I followed our group, watching them laugh and sing, their smiles as vibrant as the shining sun now overhead. They could still teach me so much about life and friendship, and I couldn't think of anyone better to take this journey with. A few hours passed, and we could now see the kingdom wall looming ahead. I had thought the wall surrounding the castle was big, but this one must have been at least twice as tall. It stood in the distance, like a great monument, a testament to the sheer willpower of the people of Constanta who built the wall after the Great Purge. Without it, we wouldn't have a safe kingdom to call home. There it is. Onyx gushed. Constanta's salvation.
It's magnificent, isn't it?
Sahar called out. All I managed to get out was a wow, and the others laughed at my uncharacteristic speechlessness. We continued following the road that had led us here all the way from the castle, until we reached a large gate. As we got closer, Onyx dismounted her horse, her giant boots hitting the ground with a thud. She strode towards the portcullis and placed her giant clawed hands on a winch and cranked down with measured strength. Slowly, the gate began to rise, the sound of metal creaking and straining. I marveled at her strength, wondering if I would have ever been able to move the winch at all. She made it look easy. A renewed admiration for my gargoyle friend filled me as the gate reached its zenith and the winch locked in place. Without even appearing winded, Onyx led her horse, pulling the carriage into the wall. We followed her underneath the great portcullis into the cool shade of the tunnel. I knew the wall was big, but now that we stood inside of it, I realized what a truly amazing piece of work it was. I could see the light from the other side, but just barely. After we were all inside, Onyx lowered the gate with rippling muscles, shutting us inside. I let out a whistle as I watched the Doombringer work. But Rosmarin mistook the sound echoing through the tunnel as my show of amazement for just how large the wall was.
Pretty impressive, isn't it?
Rosmarin commented. Oh, yeah, I replied as I tore my eyes off of Onyx and finally took in the surroundings. The tunnel was large enough for us to ride two by two, with Onyx and the carriage in the lead. If it weren't for this man-made marvel, zombies would have long ago overrun Constanta. It was the only thing that separated us from the wilds that lay beyond, and that was where our company headed. We reached the far end of the tunnel, and another metal portcullis gate stood as the only protection from the outside world. Once again, Onyx dismounted her horse and turned the winch after peering out to make sure no zombies were nearby. The gate slowly lifted, and we rode out in the open lands. Other than when Rosburn and I used the winnow powder to teleport to the Constantin Mountains, I had never been on this side of the wall. A strange sensation of freedom filled me, but I also realized that the wall was what had protected our freedoms from the zombies who had mindlessly sought to destroy all living things. I had destroyed all of them in and around Constanta with my sacrifice, but if zombies and other monsters were still plaguing other lands, then our walls were still necessary for protection. Onyx lowered the gate one last time, another chance for me to admire her strength, and she climbed back onto her horse. We sat for a minute, gazing out into the wilds, the significance of being outside the wall not lost on any one of us.
Well,
Rachel broke the quiet.
Here's where the real journey begins.
Sahar added,
keep your wits about you. We don't know what we might encounter out here.
I took those words to heart and felt for the dagger at my hip. I would be ready to use it. Eri nodded and then continued leading us along the road that would eventually take us all the way south to Nahuatl.